Amen. None but Jesus. Amen. Absolutely. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning and appreciate you being here. So you hadn't forgot, I got it with me. If I go, it goes. Amen. How that works. Well, it's good to see everyone. Good to see a good crowd this morning. Hope you'll just join in with us. We're going to eat every day. Amen. Absolutely. You know how that works. If we meet, we eat. That's how that works. And so you be here. We're going to have lunch. Be here at 6 tonight. Don't miss the service. Don't miss any of them. See, there's a reason you need to be here, and it ain't me. Okay? Empty pews don't do anything. They just sit and do nothing. Okay? Anytime, if God's going to move, He's got to have some hearts to move in. And the only way He can move in is if you come in. Okay? So you got to be here. Be here each night. We're going to eat at 6 every night. We're going to have church at 7 every night. And we'll just see what God has for us. Amen? Absolutely. So we've had an interesting week. We were in Okeechobee, Florida, Thursday morning when we left to come over here. And that's 1,100 miles in 2 days. Yeah, old people shouldn't do that. I don't know why we did it, but we did it anyway. Amen. That's what we did. And so we had a great time. It's a good church over there, good folks, a lot of snowbirds down there in that, because it's way down in the south part of Florida that Okeechobee is, and a big old lake out there, and they all fish like crazy. And so it was crazy and wild. We had a good time down there, and that's the second time we've been with them, and so we look forward to being down there with them every time. Look forward to being here with y'all. I don't know how many times this is, 16, 17, 18. I don't remember. I got the cards, I can show you, but I've forgotten at the moment just exactly how many times we've been here, but it's been a whole bunch, and we enjoy it every time. Amen. So come be a part. Don't miss it. Just be a part of whatever, all the stuff we're going to do. Looks like we got lots of stuff, and so don't miss anything. Amen? Absolutely. Take your Bible. Now, here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to put this up here, and you're going to go, oh, mercy. Yeah. We're going to look at the one verse. It's an incredible verse. Everybody in this room probably got this verse memorized. Okay? A couple of things while you're getting it. It's the most preached on verse in all of the Scripture. Okay? It's the most memorized verse in all of the Scripture. Anybody who went through Sunday school, especially as a child, or VBS as a kid, memorized this verse. Amen? Absolutely. It's absolutely there. It is the most well-known verse. If you go out here to just people out here in the world somewhere that don't ever go to church, and you ask them if they know any verse of Scripture, there's about a 90% chance this is the one they're going to know. If they know anything, they know this verse. It's kind of like the song Amazing Grace. Everybody and their dogs knows the song Amazing Grace. Amen? And they can sing it a lot of times. Maybe not very well, but they can sing it. This verse is kind of like that. This verse is like that. But the reason for that is simply this. John 3:16 is the gospel in 26 words. And I want us to break those 26 words down today and see what they say to us. Okay? Let's look at this verse together. I'll read it from this version and you can follow along in yours. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let's go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment. Father, we come before You and we praise You and thank You for the joy and the privilege that it is to be able to come into Your house today and to sing praises to You today. And Lord, to now take Your word and turn to this verse, this incredibly simple but powerful verse. And Lord, I pray that You would use this verse this morning in the hearts of people, that everything that is said, and as we take this verse apart today, there's anybody in this room, I don't care who, I don't care what age, if there's somebody in this room that's never received you in their heart as Savior, Lord, I pray you take this moment right here and use it powerfully to impact their life, that they will receive you and be saved. Father, do everything in your power. I know that you're not going to force yourself on anybody. I got that. But Lord, you have some incredible powers of conviction and convincing that you can use to draw people to you, to cause them to see their need, to cause them to see that it's none but Jesus. No one, no other, no amount of work, effort, or goodness is going to change their life. None but Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would help them open their eyes to that fact right here, right now. For we ask it in the precious, precious name of Jesus today. Amen. Now, as I said, this verse is incredibly, incredibly known. And everybody, you know, we could have probably quoted it together this morning, and everybody been right there with me. But if you ever just sat down for just took this verse apart, almost line by line, that's what I want us to do this morning. I want you first to see in this verse what I call motivation. Okay? Motivation. What is the motivation of this verse? Well, it's right there in the first line. What does it say? For God so loved. What motivated Jesus? What motivated God? His love. His love. That's what motivated Him. That divine compassion that only He possesses. It motivated Him. It caused Him to do what He did. And we understand He's motivated by love. Now, let me ask you this. Maybe you've thought about this. Have you wondered why? You ever wondered why He was motivated? Why He did it? Why was He motivated? Why did He do what He did? I've had people, and I don't know if John has, but you know what? I've had people say to me, you know, many times over the years, well, I just don't know why God would love me. Well, I don't know why He loves me either. I just know He does. Amen? So what is the why? It's not rocket science. Do you know why? He wanted to. I told you it ain't rocket science. He wanted to. He simply in His heart wanted to love us. There was nobody compelling Him to love us. The archangels weren't standing on either side of the throne saying, Lord, you really need to love Him, people. The elders were not gathered around Him trying to get Him to love us. The prophets were not gathered around saying, Lord, hey, you got to do something. None of that was going on. He simply wanted to. And you just can't argue with that. Amen? He just wanted to. And He did. He determined in His heart. Because there's no good reason for it. I mean, if you look at us, there's not any good reason for Him to love us. But He did anyway. He chose it. He determined it. He willed His love. Didn't have anything to do with emotion. It had to do with the determination in His heart. He looked at us and He just decided, I want to love Him. I want to. You can't argue with that. You can't deny that. He just wanted to. And I've had people say to me for years, well, I just don't understand how God can do that. Well, let me see if I can explain it this way. God possesses something you and I don't have. He possesses an ability to look at you and I, just look at us, and love us and separate all the garbage out of our life that He doesn't love and love us in spite of it. You and I don't have that. Not much. Now, we can develop it to some degree, but we don't have it like He has it. You know, when you and I look at somebody, let's just be honest. If you want to be, just be plain, dead dog honest. You ready? What that person does, how that person lives, the stuff they do, colors how we think about them. We look at them and we see all the nonsense that goes on in their life, and it adjusts how we look at them. But not God. He can look at you, and you can look at all the junk in your life and say, well, I don't know how God could love me. I don't understand that either, but that's how He does it. He looks at you and all that stuff He can set aside. And He can love you in spite of that. And when you receive Him, He's going to get rid of all of it. But He can love you in spite of it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how much there is. The bigger the mess doesn't matter with Him. He just loves. Because He wants to. Not because we're worth it. Or deserve it. On any level. That's how He does it. And when people say to me, well, I don't understand how God can love me. Well, I got it. I don't understand how God loved me either, but He does. Because He can look at me and He can separate the junk that He doesn't love and love me in spite of it. Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's that motivation. God so loved that drove Him to the next part of this verse, which is what I call the redemption part, or the invitation part. The redemption part. Invitation next. Redemption part. What's that part of it? It says He gave. He gave. What did He give? You know this verse. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son. How did He give Him? He gave Him as a substitute for us. Instead of us receiving the punishment we deserve, He gave His Son so that He would step in and take the punishment we deserve on Himself, and we would be saved. That's some big time loving. That's a big time giving. Amen? He gave. And you know what? There's no valid reason for that. There's no reason you can come up with that says, well, He ought to. No! He didn't have to. He gave. And you know what He gave? His best. He gave His best. He gave the best He had. When He was motivated by the love, and He looks at what needs to happen, and He knew what He wanted to give. He didn't look to find an angel or the archangel or a prophet. He didn't look around to find. He chose His best, His Son, to come to this earth for us. to die on that cross for us, to conquer death, hell, and the grave for us. He gave the best He had. He gave all He had as an expression of that incredible love that He had for us that we don't deserve. Amen? Absolutely. He gave the best. You know why? To make us His child. To bring us lost, sinful, unworthy people into a relationship, child relationship with Him. Yeah. And when He did this, when He gave, you know what? He didn't attach stuff to the gift. He didn't say, okay, I want you to be my child and I love you and I'm going to, and that relationship is right over here and you're over there and that the relationship with me is over here. Now, here's what you got to do. In between you and this, you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this. No. He didn't set up a bunch of rules. He didn't set up a bunch of stuff. He didn't give us a bunch of hoops to jump through. They'd already tried that with the Jewish religion. Heavenly days. I am reading, I got a new Bible. I asked for it and got it. That somebody, and my sister, I think, gave it to me. It's a one-year chronological Bible. You've probably seen them. It goes from Genesis 1 all the way through the end of Revelation 22, and it's in chronological order, and it lays it out in 365 segments. And for the last 2 weeks, I haven't finished it yet. In the last 2 weeks, I'm in Leviticus. Oh, my soul. And the Lord said, do this. Ah! There are so many rules and so many regulations and so much stuff. I mean, every day, this goes through my mind. Maybe it shouldn't go through every day, but it does. I'm reading along. I was reading that this morning. And it was going through all this stuff. And I get through reading, and here's my thought. Thank you, Jesus. I'm on this side of the cross. I'd never be able to keep up with that. Never. There is every kind of, you got to bring the right animal at the right time for the right reason and do the right thing. And if you don't do the right thing, you're cut off from the community and you're this and you're that. And I'm thinking, I'm in trouble if I'm in that stuff. Jesus, they'd already done that. So when He came, He didn't set up more of it or a scaled-down version. He just said, I want you to have a relationship with Me. I want to give it to you. Whew. How incredible is that? How incredible is that? You don't have to work for it. There's no way, possible way to earn it. You can't earn it. He didn't even give you a path to earn it. He just said, I want to give it to you. He's going to tell us how in a minute. I want to give it to you. And I have, you know, people look at me kind of funny because I used that illustration when it came to my mind here not long ago. I've used it in other messages as well because it fits well. And I've had people look at me kind of funny when I say that. He just wants the relationship. All that other stuff is religion. And you never know if you did it right, did the right thing, did enough of the right thing, the right time, the right... You never know. There's absolutely no assurance in religion. None. I love it when people say, well, now, preacher, I'm just not religious. I go, thank the Lord. We don't have to get through that before we can get to Jesus. Amen? He didn't give us that. I want to ask him to help you understand what I'm talking about here. What do you do or make your children do to remain your children? Nothing. You don't get over here and set your kids over here and say, okay, if you want to stay my child, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. As long as you do that, you're fine. We don't do that. We don't do that. Amen? They just are. Now, I'm not saying you like everything they do. I got a 39-year-old daughter I'd like to crack upside the head every now and then. But it doesn't make her or not make her not my child. Amen? That's what Jesus is saying to you. Do you deserve to be my child? No. But I'm not going to make you do anything to earn it. I'm just going to make you my child. Whew. Amen? Absolutely. And then he gives us that application to this thing. And also, you could use the word invitation here, because this is what he's telling us. Who's this to? Whoever. Whoever will believe in him. Each person individually. Anybody who'll believe in him, this is what he'll do. I'm kind of interestingly amazed at some of these people who think God came to keep people out of heaven. And that's what they kind of preach. God didn't come to keep people out. He came to get people in. And he said, whoever is willing to place their trust and faith in him for who he is and why he came can be his child. And it doesn't matter what kind of nonsense or mess you come out of. He's bigger than that, whatever it is. It doesn't make any difference. He will change you, come into your life, forgive you, and make you his child. Whoever will come to him, whoever will believe in him. And that's the key. You can find boatloads of people out here. Oh, I believe in Jesus. No, they believe about Jesus. There's a difference in believing in and believing about. There's a lot of stuff in this world and in your life that you believe about because it's there. But you don't necessarily believe in it. Amen? But you can believe about it because it's right there. Did you know that when people say, oh, preacher, I believe in Jesus. You know what my response to that is a lot of times? Hey, that's good. You and the devil are on the same page. Because the Bible says that the devil believes Jesus, believe he knows Jesus, and trembles. And trembles. You got to get deeper than that. Did you know that the devil believes? Did you know that if an atheist is honest, he believes about Jesus? Because secular history that has nothing to do with the Scripture, secular history in the day Jesus was alive recorded that he was here and that he taught. It doesn't believe in him. But secular history, he's a real person that was really here. Yeah. And anybody who's an honest, even if they don't believe in him, if they're honest, an honest atheist understands Jesus was here. And he believes about that fact because it's a fact. Now, look, this will blow your mind. I ran across this just here lately. Did you know that Muslims believe about Jesus? Did you know Jesus is mentioned in the Quran more than once as a prophet, as a teacher? They don't believe in him as Savior, as the Son of God. But they recognize His existence. Not just recognizing His existence, don't cut it. You got to believe in Him. You got to do what the Scripture says to do to be saved and believe in Him. And what does the Scripture say? The Scripture says, as I've said this to you on any number of occasions, probably every year I've been here in the last 10 at least, you've got to come to the person of Jesus. You have to call on the name of Jesus. Not the name of a church, not the name of a denomination, not the name of a pastor, not even your own self. Because so many people, when it comes to salvation, they like to call on themselves. You say, well, how in the world do they do that? Preacher, I do the best I can. I go to church. I try to do this. I try to help people. I. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says you call on the name of Jesus, not you. You must confess that He is Lord. That means that you, with your heart and mind, believe and with your mouth confess that He is exactly who this book says He is. And nothing different. No torn down version of Him with a bunch of substitutes of stuff you don't like. I've had people say to me, well, you know, if it wasn't for this, I could come to Jesus. Well, I'm sorry, this is there. And it ain't going to change. It isn't going to change. You got to confess that He is Lord. And then you know what else you got to do? One more. Confess again. Second, same word. Confess that you are a sinner. That you realize you're a sinner. And you need and desire for Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And make you His child. And the Bible says if you will believe in Him like that, you're going to be His child. He's going to make that relationship happen. And it ain't going to change. Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely ain't going to change. And if you're here this morning, that's exactly what you need to do. Whether you think it is or not, that's exactly what you need to do. I'm telling you. Because you're not going to find it anywhere else. None but Jesus. Do you hear the song? Nothing can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus. That's what we sung, and that's the truth. None but Jesus. Amen? Amen? Then you've got the last thing I want you to look at, that last section. And that last section is the destination. The destination. Now, there's two directions on this destination, this verse. He said, you need to come and you need to believe in Him. Whoever will believe Him, the first thing He says is, you won't perish. What does that mean? It means that you're not going to leave this life without Christ. That's what it means. That's what it means. It means you're not going to die in this life without Jesus in your heart. With all your sins still in your possession. Because if you do, that parish thing is not going to be a party. It is unimaginable horror and torment. That's what the Scripture says. Unimaginable. And I have people, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder about people. I've had people say to me for years, years and years, preacher, I just don't believe in hell. And my thought is, why not? And, you know, sometimes I'll have, they'll say that to me. They don't say it too much because I use this right here and they know better than to say something. But they'll say to me, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, it happens so much for a long time. I finally got to thinking, what can I say? Lord, what can I do to try to, you know, because that's nuts. And finally the Lord said, you know, well, just ask them another question. Do you believe in heaven? So I did. Somebody say, well, I just don't believe in hell. I say, well, okay. Do you believe in heaven? And did you not one single solitary person ever said no? Not one. I said, well, and my next question was, I did this to any number of people. I said, well, that's interesting. Because you say you don't believe in hell, but you do believe in heaven, and the same Jesus that told you about heaven told you about hell. So either he's lying somewhere or you're wrong. Now, they didn't like that. But hopefully it rattled their brain a little bit, make them start thinking. Every now and then I've run across maybe a few handful of times at the most, somebody who was actually honest and didn't believe in either one. Now you can be honest and not believe in either one, but you can't believe in one and not the other. It's either both or neither, if you're going to be honest. And I'm telling you, they're both real. And if you die without Christ, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. And I've actually had people in this conversation, I've actually had people look at me and say, well, you know, preacher, if I die and go to hell, it'll be all right. I'll be down there with all my buddies. We'll just have a good time. You might want to rethink that. And you might want to find Scripture and read about it, because that ain't what I'm finding. In Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, there's a story about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, the rich man was one of those guys, never thought he thought he was going to heaven because he was rich and he had everything. And, of course, the Jews taught if you were rich and blessed and had faith that you were fine and in good relationship with God. That's what they taught. That's what they taught. And so this guy was standing on the firm foundation of the Jewish teaching, and he thought he was going to go right to heaven because he was blessed and rich and had been all his life. And the dude woke up in hell. That's what it says. He opened his eyes in hell. And I don't know what his first thought was, but I imagine it was, uh-oh. There's something there too. Amen? And he started asking for release. And he didn't get it. And then he asked for relief, drip of water, because he was what? Tormented. And when neither of those two worked, and wasn't going to, you know what he did? He started begging for Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to his family, his father's house, and warn his brothers to change their ways and not to come there. Now, if he was having such a party, why'd he do that? If he was having such a high hole big time enjoying himself, why did he say, okay, family, don't come here. You don't want not a part of this. Amen? God said to us, He looked at us and He looked at our condition, He looked at where we were headed, and here was His thought. I love you too much to do nothing. Gotta do something. And the something He did was give. And He said, if you'll receive, believe, you won't experience this. Ever. You'll get to the other side of this direction. You will have what the Scripture calls eternal life. Unending life. Unmatched joy. Happiness. Unmatched blessing. That's what the Scripture talks about to those who come to Christ. And you know when you start that? You say, well, when you die. No. When you receive Christ as your Savior, your eternal life starts right then. Amen. I got mine. Now, my mind is a little bit restricted because of the flesh I'm in and the world I live in. And the fullness of its glory won't be seen until I get to the place of this eternal life. But I got it right now. You know why I got it right now? I have the presence of Holy God within me now. I'm not going to get Him one day. I got Him right now. I have the power of Holy God right now in this place. Because that's what He said you'd get. And one day, whoo, I'm going to get the place. That ought to make you want to shout. One day we're going to get the place. If you've received the Savior. Not if you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do the best I can and it'll all work out. No, it won't. Scripture says nothing along those lines. Scripture says you've got to come to Christ and you've got to trust in Him as your Savior. And if you do, you will have eternal life. That's what He promises. And that's what He's going to give. He always makes good on His promises. That's what He's going to give. The question is, have you come to Him? Have you received Him? Can you figure out when that happened? You know, sometimes I have people come to me and they say, well, you know, preacher, I think I'm saved. I think it happened back here this day. And they'll give me some place or time or something. You know what my thought is? If you met the Son of God and He changed your life, you go remember when it happened. And if you can't remember when it happened, maybe you need to look at this thing. Maybe you need to look at this. And I've talked to bukus of people who struggle with this stuff. This can't figure it out. If you're looking at me this morning and you're thinking, oh, I've heard this, you know, I've done, I think I'm going to go to heaven. No. You got to know. The Bible says if you met Him, you're going to know it. If He saved you, you're going to know it. Do you know it? Do you? If you don't know it, maybe it's time to fix that. So you know it. And if you're sitting in this room and you say, okay, I got it. I know I'm saved. I can go right back to the moment. I can. Right back to the moment. The building doesn't exist anymore. The pastor that was with me, that I was standing before and he was leading me to Christ, has already gone to heaven. The man who walked forward with me, he's in heaven. All the participants in that event that morning are gone but me. But I still remember it like it was yesterday. I know exactly where we were. Do you know that? And if you're sitting there thinking, I do know that. I got it. I'm settled. No problem. Then let me ask you this. Are you giving to Him like He gave to you your best? He held nothing back for you. Are you? Do you hold back on Him? Do you save your best for what you want to do out there? The best of your energy? The best of your time? The best of your efforts? The best of your talents? Or are you giving Him your best? Because He gave you His best. And I'll have people say, well, you know, I just can't do anything very well. My best ain't very much. Who cares? If it's your best, it's your best. It makes not one whit of a difference if somebody else around you can do what you do better than you can do it. If you're doing your best, you're doing your best. I'll tell you what I've learned. I learned this bunches of years ago. There's boatload of people who can sing better than I can. There's probably two boatloads of preachers who can preach better than I can. It doesn't matter. Because God's not expecting me to do better than them. He's expecting me to give the best I've got. And that's all He's looking for you. You can look around and say, well, somebody else can do it better. Who cares? More power to them. Get after it. You just give your best. Be compelled and motivated by what? Your love for Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, you know what Paul says? Christ's love compels me. That's what it says. You know why he said that? Because he looked at how much Christ loved him. And he was motivated and compelled by the fact that God loved him so much that he did what he did, that he just had to love him back with all he had. So what about it? What about it? Are you offering him your best? Or are you giving him the leftovers? After you've gone and worn yourself out doing what you enjoy doing, and then you drag into church like dead lice has fallen off of you because that's all you got left. Think about it. Think about it. Does he deserve leftovers? Or your best? Maybe this morning, two things. Maybe this morning you need to come and you need to say to Brother John up here in a minute, I want Jesus. That's all you got to say. If you can get to him up here and look at him and say, I want Jesus, he knows what to do next. And he can help you and pray with you, and you can receive Christ into your heart as your Savior right here this morning, if that's what you need to do. But maybe you're sitting there as a child of God, you've been saved for years, and maybe you have slidden into, backwards, mind you, into this leftover thing. And you know right here, you're not giving your best. Maybe you might want to think that over and start giving back to Him in the same way He gave to you. His best deserves your best. And it doesn't matter if your best is better than somebody else's best or worse than somebody else's best. He's not looking at that. He's just looking for you to give the best you got to Him. You can find a place at this altar and you can just ask the Lord, I want to give you my best. I want to stop warming up leftovers for you and give you the best. Do you need to come this morning? Most of you know whether you need to come. I have a pastor friend, evangelist friend who says this all the time. He says, you know what you need to do. The question is, not what you need to do. You got that. The question is, are you going to do it? That's the question. And these moments, it's your opportunity. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray right now for every one of us in this room this morning. Lord, you know what I know here? I know there's some people in this room. I'm just absolutely convinced of the fact that there's some people in this room. And you know what? They need to come to you and be saved. Because they know about you, but they've never placed their faith and trust in you. And they need to come and ask for you to forgive them of their sin, come into their life and save them. And Father, I pray they do exactly that right now. And you know what else, Lord, I know? I know there's some people in this room that are saved, been saved for a long time. They know it. You know it. But what we also know is they're not giving you the best. They've been offering up some leftover stuff. Just what they got left after they've done everything they want to do. Father, I pray they'd have a change of heart, a revival of spirit, and start offering you the best. And all that other junk gets the leftovers. Father, move by the power of your Spirit in this room this morning in the hearts of people. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Would you stand and sing with us? We're going to come to sing the little song, Come Just As You Are. And as we sing this song, John's right here. What do you need to do? There's altars. There's a place for you to kneel and pray and deal with Jesus. Would you come today? Don't just walk out the same way you came in. Would you come as we sing? Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever.